Georgia about Mission and Fifth. This is FieldPod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming at you from San Francisco's Hopping Soma Impact Hub. Today is Thursday, the 3rd of April, 2014. On this date, in 1860, the Pony Express debuts. In 1865, the Confederate capital of Richmond is captured in the American Civil War. In 1895, the trial in a libel case brought by Oscar Wilde begins, eventually resulting in his imprisonment on charges of homosexuality. 1918, Marshal Foch, good buddy of my great-grandfather, by the way, becomes Supreme Allied Commander for the next few months of spring and summer. Very interesting to check out exactly what was happening 100 years ago today. The Telegraph has a very good site for that, by the way. 1922, Joseph Stalin becomes the first Secretary General of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union. 1948, Harry Truman signs the Foreign Assistance Act, known as the Marshall Plan, which put $5 billion in aid to 16 different countries. In pretty lean times, by the way, I might add, on both sides of the Atlantic. 1955, the American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU, says it will contest the obscenity charge against Allen Ginsberg's poem, Howl. 1968, Martin Luther King Jr. delivers his I've Been to the Mountaintop speech in Memphis. The next day, he is assassinated. 1978, Annie Hall beats out Star Wars for Best Picture. Birthdays today are Washington Irving, Boss Tweed, Eddie Murphy, Alec Baldwin, Doris Day, Marlon Brando, Jane Goodall, and Dooley Wilson, who played Sam in Casablanca. Thanks again for those posting to the forum. Some great information on the Gorilla Gardeners and some ways to join them in their activities. If you'd like to comment on the blog or ask questions, go to tepealpod.com or send us an email at tepealpod@gmail.com. To subscribe to the podcast, go to tepealpod.com, scroll down the screen, and on the right-hand side below the column of tags, there's a little rectangular icon that says iTunes. Click it, and you'll get all the new TepealPod episodes. If you still have trouble, let us know by posting a comment on the website or emailing us. We want to be sure that everybody gets iTunes set up well, and if there are problems, that we know about them so that we can announce them or get them fixed. This week, we are introducing a new feature. Everybody listen. New feature. TepealPod.com's very own database, which has resources for people living in Tbilisi, gyms, yoga studios, computer repair places, restaurants, doctors, visas, and immigration information, and much, much more. If you have any new resources, you can post them in the database under the specific topic. We'll update the categories. Even the most seasoned veterans will learn a few things. Check it out at www.tepealpod.com/database, or you'll see it in the top right-hand margin of the front page. This was the idea of a listener, and plenty of work for the TepealPod.com elves, Mitch, Taco, and Nino. So big round of applause for them, and thanks for the idea. Keep them coming. On the 24th of March, Shalva Tatukashvili, the former deputy director of the Special Department of Kuti from 2005 to 2012, died from a heart attack in his home. Tatukashvili participated in the Kuti operation in Navluri in 2006. The Navluri operation killed three people who were allegedly planning a paramilitary attack on a penitentiary facility to release inmates. His family initially reported him missing. After returning home, he died of a heart attack. The family claims the prosecutor's office beat and tortured him. His lawyer, Irakli Zakadeshvili, asked that the prosecutor's office coerce asserted that the prosecutor's office coerced his client into giving false testimony against Akhalaya. He also accuses the prosecutors of beating Tatukashvili. Later, Zakadeshvili attended an autopsy and released photos of the body, which seemed to show multiple injuries. On the 30th of March, masked men beat up UNM Member of Parliament Nugzar Tsiklaoti, who was looking into the Tatukashvili case. According to Tsiklaoti, several men in masks waited outside his house and attempted to kidnap him with the help of a taser. They failed because he resisted and neighbors interfered. Tsiklaoti was taken to a hospital where he was treated for multiple injuries to his face and body. Prime Minister Irakli Kharabashvili called on the relevant agencies to immediately investigate the incident. UNM released a statement which blamed Kharabashvili and the de facto ruler, BI, in quotes. UNM suspected that the masked men were from special services and acted upon orders as Tsiklaoti helped to expose the kidnapping of Tatukashvili. On the 2nd of April, the prosecutor's office responded that UNM is attempting to take attention away from the Ghirbliani case to the Tatukashvili case, according to their official statement, which is pretty ridiculous. Tatukashvili went to the prosecutor's office on the 24th of February with his brother, a friend, and two lawyers to officially answer questions. I mean, I'm not saying that what they're saying is wrong. I'm saying that the tone of it is quite ridiculous, and you should check it out if you can. They claim he was a friend of Achalaya's family, and he asked for protection. He asked for protection, and to put him in the witness protection program. They issued him a residence with personal guards. On the 25th of February, Tatukashvili told the guards to take him home, not to his temporary residence. He then did not return to the guards and reportedly jumped from the window and escaped. On the 18th of March, Isani Samgori police received a report from a nightclub close to Lilo, a suburb of Tbilisi. According to the report, two drunk young men were behaving inappropriately at the nightclub and disturbing staff. The prosecutor's office claims that one of these two turned out to be Tatukashvili. They have surveillance camera footage. They claim proves this. Police moved him to the prosecutor's office after they found out that he was in the witness protection program. In a recorded interview, Tatukashvili said he feared revenge from the Achalaya family, and so he hid in a forest after running away from his guards. The prosecutor's office stated they can't name the cause of his death before an autopsy. Public defender Ucha Nanuashvili and Gaila are studying the case. According to Nanuashvili, the autopsy will be completed at the end of the week. Journalist Salome Asatiani wrote in Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, that Tatukashvili's suspicious death reveals that nothing has changed. Georgia remains on a path of violence and injustice. On the 28th of March, Prime Minister Garibashvili proposed that the parliament change the constitution to define a family as a union between a man and a woman, because this is Georgia's highest priority. The initiative is part of the anti-discrimination draft law, which is one of the main requirements for Georgia to obtain visa-free travel to the EU. The Prime Minister said that an anti-discrimination bill reflects the Georgian tradition of tolerance, according to which people of different religions, ethnicities, and lifestyles lived together for centuries. Garibashvili noted that Latvia and Croatia introduced similar constitutional clauses before becoming members of the EU. He said, quote, "Though according to current legislation, a family is understood as a union between a man and a woman, I think it should be written in the Constitution to avoid misinterpretation." Minister of Justice Teodosiu Lukiani responded to the anti-discrimination law and said that the draft law fully reflects Georgian traditions and that same-sex marriage is not permitted in Georgia. She agreed that the Constitution should be amended to reflect this. UNM and numerous NGOs criticized Garibashvili's proposal. The head of the EU delegation to Georgia, Philip Dimitrov, underlined that legalization of same-sex marriage was never a prerequisite or obligation for a country to become a member of the EU. Speaker of Parliament Tatu Tsupashvili said that the current constitution says that marriage is based on the equality of spouses, but could be changed in the following way. Marriage is based on the equality of a man and woman. According to Tsupashvili, what Garibashvili is changing is not about the family, but about marriage. On the 29th of March, a group of citizens protested in front of the Chancellery. They called on Garibashvili to cancel the amendment. The amendment is silly and is pandering to retrograde morons. The most frustrating thing is that it's so unnecessary. If this had not been brought up by Garibashvili, nobody would have noticed. Following up on last week's story about the prosecutor's office summoning Misha, the prosecutor's office proposed that Misha respond to questions via Skype. Misha rejected the proposal. On the 27th of March, the NGO Lazare, Youth for European Future, and Picasso Club organized a rally, "I'm Misha Today, Question Me Too," in front of the prosecutor's office. The organizers echoed Misha's statement from last week that his summons was a direct order from Putin. Misha's opponents gathered in front of the prosecutor's office as well. They threw eggs at his supporters. Police detained several demonstrators when fights broke out. After speaking with Misha on the phone, former Tbilisi mayor Gigi Ugulava said that the former president is ready to testify as a witness via video chat before the court if any of the cases go to trial. Following up on last week's story about the investigation into Zulizhvanya's death, on the 28th of March, the prosecutor's office questioned Gheorghe Gvichiani, who was CEO of Tbilgas when Zhvania died in 2005. He was later sentenced to life in prison for organizing the murder of Nika Lominadze, who was CEO of Telasi. Gvichiani told the investigator that gas could not have leaked into the building where Zhvania died, since he didn't have gas that night. On a somewhat related note, have you been hearing people call Garibashvili Hakim Pasha, particularly on Facebook? The reason for this is because the videos with photographs of the corpses of Zhvania and Raul Usupov, former deputy governor of Femokartli region, was uploaded on Facebook by an unidentified YouTube account with the name Hakim Pasha. People are saying Garibashvili had the video put there. Certainly he was quick to enthusiastically comment about it, although later beat a retreat from his earlier comments. The House Intelligence Committee Chairman Mike Rogers reported that, in addition to amassing tens of thousands of troops on the eastern border of Ukraine, Russia is building up its military forces in South Ossetia. Rogers suggested that Russian President Vladimir Putin is considering an invasion of both Georgia and Armenia as part of an effort to create an overland link between Russia and Iran. According to the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Maya Panjikidze, it looks like Russia is ready to stop provoking Georgia along the border. She said that the first deputy foreign minister, Dato Zalikiani, the Russian deputy foreign minister, Grigory Karasin, spoke at the Geneva talks. According to the European Commission's annual report, which assessed the progress of neighborhood countries, Georgia continued to deliver many reforms in 2013. The report calls on Georgia to ensure adequate separation of powers, reform the justice system, ensure that criminal prosecutions are conducted transparently and impartially, avoid any perception of politically motivated justice, strengthen media pluralism and independence, as well as freedom of expression. According to the Minister of Euro-Atlantic Integration, Alexei Petriashvili, Georgian citizens will be able to travel visa-free to Schengen countries no later than the beginning of 2016. According to Kommersant.ge, the Israeli TV company Channel 9 reported that due to the EU association agreement, Georgia is committed to build a section of the Iran-Balkan pipeline. Israel media outlets reported that if the plan is carried out, Europe will weaken sanctions against Iran, including its gas production. I think this must have come out on April 1st, because this, of course, is BS, but considering the status of the conversations with Iran compared with Russia, Iranian gas could easily be part of a long-term solution to how to deal with Russia and all its Gazprom money, contract breaking, and punitive pricing and supply cuts. According to an IRI survey, that's the International Republican Institute, the Georgian Dream candidate Dator Narmania has support of 52% of the residents in Tbilisi. When asked how important is it that the Tbilisi mayor be a native from Tbilisi, 35% of the respondents said very important, 24% doesn't matter at all, 22% said somewhat important, 18% not very important. Most respondents said that the biggest failure of the current national government is their failure to fulfill promises. Most name distributing vouchers for agriculture as the government's main accomplishment. 94% of Georgians say they trust the church, while 93% trust the army, 84% the media, 82% the police, 69% the government, and 68% the parliament. IRI survey was conducted from the 19th of February to the 13th of March. Nearly 4,000 adults were interviewed face-to-face. A co-founder and director of TV Channel 25, Gio Surmanidze, accused the chief prosecutor, Gio Badashvili, of exerting pressure on him. Surmanidze said that Badashvili, when serving as the head of the investigative unit of the Ministry of Finance, along with other prosecutors and investigators, tried to force him and the TV channel's co-founder, Cemal Varzadze, to say that the former Prime Minister, Vano Badashvili, and the former Deputy Chief Prosecutor, Dato Charkviashvili, purchased the TV channel. Surmanidze sent a letter to Garibashvili about the incident. However, he has not received a response. Family of Georgia's first president, Zviad Gamza Khordia, celebrated what would have been his 75th birthday on the 31st of March. They demanded a new investigation into his controversial death in 1993, which remains unsolved. President Gheorghe Mark Velashvili announced a new Gamza Khordia scholarship, which will be given to the best students in the Tbilisi State University's philology department. Recently, there were reports that the Georgian writer Zuda Karumidze was being considered as a possible ambassador to the U.S. However, Georgian Dream MP genius Soso Janchuliani opposed his candidacy. He criticized Karumidze in an interview with BI's favorite newspaper, Osvaldo Savaldi. Giansviviani called Kadumidze a phallus and criticized his book Melia Telufia, in which the author describes dancing naked Svan men. Giansviviani accused him of insulting Svans. Later, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Maya Pandrukidze, confirmed that the government is considering Kadumidze's candidacy. Giansviviani commented that if Kadumidze is appointed ambassador, all of Svanetti will no longer support the government. The Polynesian island nation of Tuvalu retracted its 2011 recognition of Abkhazia and South Ossetia. Foreign Minister Maya Pandrukidze and her Tuvaluan counterpart, Paukalina Finakaso, signed an agreement establishing diplomatic relations. As a reminder, last year, Georgia signed a similar agreement with the South Pacific Island nation of Vanuatu, which also retracted its earlier recognition of the two breakaway republics. Currently, four countries recognize them: Russia, Nicaragua, Nauru, and Venezuela. Georgia opened an honorary consul in Porto, Portugal. The honorary consul is Luis Marinho. AnkaraScene.com awarded Georgia's ambassador to Turkey, Irakli Koplatadze, the title of Most Elegant Ambassador. AnkaraScene.com holds polls and gives out the title Mr. Elegant of the Week. Teodore Gignadze, the controversial representative of the Georgian clergy, held a lecture at the Tbilisi City Court. Gagnidze famously defended the curse of Ham, the idea that Africans were blackened by their sins. The lecture was titled, quote, "The Basics of the Law of Believers," end quote. Gagnidze's speech dealt with topics such as human psychology, justice in the courts, religion, sin, punishment, and revenge. The court invited the preacher, according to the Tbilisi court's Facebook page, which plans to continue conducting what it calls educational activities in the future. This is a very bad thing, the government giving that platform to creepy racist priests like this. According to Net Gazeti, in 2011, the government of Ajada granted land on Rustaveli Street for a symbolic one lot in Batumi. The church received 700 square meters of land and the building on it, a church of approximately 170 square meters. The supposed reason for this was to build a residence for the patriarch. After receiving the land, the church changed its mind and exchanged the property with some rich guy named Ruslan Kakabadze and received his house and land in exchange. Following up on the public broadcaster board debacle, the selection commission selected 27 candidates out of 60 applicants who wished to become members of the Board of Trustees, the Georgian Public Broadcaster. The commission will interview the candidates, select 15, and present them to Parliament. The MPs will approve five candidates who will become trustees. As a reminder, the board of the public broadcaster was dismissed this October after two trustees left. But Parliament failed to compose a fully new board and managed to approve only three board members out of the necessary six, thus conveniently preventing independent oversight. The commission members doing the choosing were Ia Antadze, Nino Bekiashvili, Zvia Devdadiani, Natia Kapanadze, Natia Kupreshvili, Arnold Stepanian, Zvia Koridze, and Tamar Jolugaya. In an interview with the Russian BBC, Misha said that he might write a book. He confirmed that he is not going to take any posts in Ukraine. Following up on last week's story about forced early marriages in the village of Kabali, Kacheti, a father sold his 16-year-old daughter to a 45-year-old man for 10 cows. The girl ran away from home and married a different man. According to the Minister of Education, between 2011 and 2013, 7,400 girls left school early. The main reason for leaving was marriage. According to the ministry, this occurs most often in villages populated by ethnic Azeris like Kabali, Karajala, and Yurmakhlo. The Municipal Development Fund will announce a tender to build a new subway station near Tbilisi State's Maghlivi building. The project will cost between 35 and 42 million euros and will be completed in 2 years. It's mainly financed by Asian Development Bank. State funds make up only 15% of the total. This is big. Wizz Air added a new regular flight from Kutaisi to Vilnius. The flights are on Monday and Fridays. Prices for a one-way ticket start from 40 euros. Skytrax World Airport Awards named Tbilisi International Airport as one of the 10 best airports in Eastern Europe. The other nine are, telling you a lot, Belgrade, Borispol, and Kiev, Bratislava, Budapest, Franz Liszt, Burgas, Riga, Sofia, Tallinn, and Varna. Hey, great to all of those, but Borispol and Kiev, I find that hard to believe. According to unverified reports, Georgian wine disappeared from shops in Belarus. We're sort of thin on the ground in Minsk. If there's any listeners in Minsk who want to be our, you know, eyes and ears there, let us know. Because of an unofficial suspension of Georgian wine imports, the National Wine Agency explained that there are some obstacles to importing Georgian wine to Belarus, and there are now negotiations. Georgian wine lovers can now use a new online tool to help them choose the best wine from international stores. The catalog is at cat.vino.com. That's C-A-T dot H-V-I-N-O, not G-H, but H-V-I-N-O.com. The Telegraph writes that Georgian citizens are some of the most active buyers of expensive property in London. During the last 2 years, citizens of the former Soviet republics have bought property in London worth more than $3 billion. Out of all CIS countries, Ukrainian citizens bought London property most often. Public defender Uche Nanoashvili demands that he have greater authority. Specifically, he's asking for the right to take photos of injuries of prisoners to reveal violations. He initiated an amendment which, if passed, will give the public defender this power. Parliamentary news. Justice Minister Ted Zalukiani delivered a report to the Parliamentary Human Rights Committee summarizing the ministry's efforts to promote transparency in the court, depoliticize the Justice Council's and integrate former prisoners into society. Later, when asked about the repairs of the House of Justice, Zalukiani provided a report which claims the previous government had a shortage of bolts. Essentially, she's blaming UNM's construction for problems in the Justice House. She's, of course, absolutely right. That thing was done in an incredible hurry, and it's a disaster. Just walk across the staircase over the San Pedro Road to get in there to see how big a disaster it is. In response, UNM MP Chioda Taktakashvili left the meeting in protest. In response to complaints from AmCham and others about suspending foreigners' ability to purchase agricultural land, the Parliament amended this provision to exempt Georgian commercial banks from the suspension. The recent amendment ensures that banks with foreign shareholders will be able to utilize agricultural land as collateral for loans and resell such land to any buyer, including a foreign one or a Georgian company with foreign shareholders. AmCham, TI Georgia, and the Georgian Microfinance Association co-sponsored an official amendment to this draft, which would add an exemption on microfinance organizations, subsidiaries of microfinance organizations and banks, international and sovereign financial institutions, private international financial institutions, and share transfers in Georgian companies that owned agricultural land when this suspension began in June 2013. On April Fool's Day, UNM held a photo exhibition in Parliament. One photo read, from the 1st of October 2012, Kartu Bank will issue 0% loans. The meme this week, with almost 5,000 YouTube hits, the guerrilla gardening activists stage a picnic in the lobby of City Hall to protest the construction of a hotel in Vaque Park. One activist held a sign which read, "A hotel in the park, a picnic in City Hall." Some activists were doing exercises, some were chatting and playing music. Things to read. A quote from the Tabeelpod.com Malibu desk officer from an article by Ann Applebaum in the Washington Post, "Russia's anti-Western ideology has global consequences." Applebaum writes, quote, "Halfway through an otherwise coherent conversation with a Georgian lawyer here, the topics included judges, the court system, the police, I was startled by a comment he made about his country's former government, led by then-President Misha Saakashvili. Quote, they were LGBT, quote, he said conspiratorially," end quote. TbilisiHeritageGroup.co.uk, a fantastic group in London looking out for Tbilisi's historical architecture, wrote about the former Imeli building on Rustaveli Avenue. The poster which hangs on the front facing Rustaveli reads, "A dream come true," but it never specifies what kind of dream. If you walk around the back, you'll find a picture of a 40-plus story glass horror spiking the center of the historic city like a dagger, currently on its fifth floor and rising at full speed behind the Imeli building. Georgia's school report by Maha Barada. In a special edition of Learning World, the author takes an in-depth look at issues in Georgian schools and efforts being made to deal with them. The first report delves into longstanding concerns over preschool education, and the second report looks at the challenge of providing education to a population that speaks various languages. All these things to read will be posted on our forum. This week's GeoCapital number is 36, which is the ranking of Georgia in terms of global trade opportunities, according to the 2014 report of the World Economic Forum. The report assesses the performance of 138 economies in four critical areas: market access, border administration, transport and communication infrastructure, regulatory and business environment. Armenia took 53rd place, Azerbaijan 77th, Russia 105th, Singapore was first. This week's English language movie at the Roosevelt Movie Theater across from Parliament is on Saturday, the 5th of April, Noah at 7:30 p.m. Domkino next to McDonald's will be showing on Saturday, the 5th of April, The Decameron. On Sunday, the 6th of April, The Canterbury Tales, both at 7 o'clock. The next Works in Progress will be on the 23rd of April at 6:15 p.m. Kendra Diaz from the Central European University will present Linguistic Dimensions to Ethno-National Identity, the Avars of Contemporary Dagestan. The address is number 3, Kaftaradze Street. Claire Kaiser, a PhD candidate in Russian history at Penn, will be speaking about Tbilisi outreach to Georgian diaspora in Iran and Azerbaijan in the Soviet era in Bloomington, Indiana, with its strong Georgian focus at Indiana Memorial Union. The webcast will start on the 4th of April at 8 a.m. Central Standard Time. For those of you in London on the 8th of April from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Culture Ministry and Georgian Publishers and Booksellers Association is inviting you to a presentation reading of the Georgian literature series by Dalkey Archive Press as part of the London Book Fair 2014 at the Lansdowne Club. Nice place. Go there if you can. If you wish to attend or need further information, email Nino Kharadze, counselor at the embassy. That's N Kharadze, Kharadze, at mfa.gov.ge. On the 12th of April at 8 p.m., one of the founding fathers of Russian rock music, Boris Grebenshikov, and the band Akvarium will hold a concert at Philharmonia. Prices range from 40 to 100 lari. You can buy tickets at Philharmonia. If you're in Portland and looking for some great Georgian food, go to Karigogo, the Georgian food cart. They sell badrijani, lobiani, khingali, khachapuri, and more. Tell your Portland, Oregon friends about it. Go to karigogo.com or look up at Karigogo PDX on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I've been there, and the food is really good, and it's by far, it's a whole block of food trucks, and it was the only one that had a line. So really cool place to go in Portland. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tpeelpod@gmail.com, or post to the forum on our website, www.tpeelpod.com. And we will finish with Morton Stevens' original score from 1968, the Hawaii Five-O theme song.